continuing to chronicle the legacy of an incredible family group in gospel music, the Neelands, History and Harmony, the conclusion, part three, starts now.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Well, back here for part three, our conclusion, as we focus our spotlight on the Neelands, the history and the heritage. And I love this music. I love this group, and particularly talking to the current makeup, which is Kelly Neeland and her daughter Amber and husband Jason. Let's start off with a fresh sound of this makeup of the Neelands from Come On Home.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear a robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, mothers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear a robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear a robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down to the river to pray. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down to the river to pray.
The Neelands and Come On Home is the new project that we're listening to, along with some of these classics. And there's a song that, and again, co-produced with Jason Clark and Bill Gaither. And there's a song that the Gaithers wrote on here that is pretty unique. And you guys, I've heard you guys do it a couple times now. And it's about the apple stand in the airport.
Mm-hmm. A true story. Bill sent me the song over the internet, the demo, right after they'd finished writing it. And immediately I went in. Kelly, I think she was in our master bedroom. I went to Kelly. I said, you've got to listen to this lyric. And I was moved. There's very few times when this song just captures me immediately. This was the song. And I just couldn't believe that Bill had asked us to record it. I said, I called him and said, has anybody recorded this? He goes, no, no one's ever recorded it. I was like, wow. And so we were so excited to get this story out there. We recorded the song. And even before we finished the album, we started just testing it out in our concerts. Immediate impact. I think the first time we performed it, we were with the Triumphant Quartet doing an entire weekend up in Canada. Mm. And we had lines of people coming to our table that night. Where's the Apple song? And we're like, well, it's not going to be out for 6 months. We were just trying it out on you guys.
Wow.
And so it just had an immediate impact, you know, to challenge people to be kind and compassionate in this true story. And then we filmed a concept video with it. And we haven't done that for many, many years. And we got a company out of Florida. And then a lady who works with Steven Spielberg came and wrote the storyboard. Wow. And had a lot of great, talented people to make this wonderful video to bring the story to life throughout our concerts. And so it's just been amazing. We're so honored to have the song. And it's been amazing to see people instantly moved and touched when the lyric is presented to them.
I was racing through the airport, make an early flight.
I wanted to get home to see my children and my wife. I rushed around the corner, an apple stand was there. Until I knocked it over, the fruit went everywhere. At first I kept on going, I just couldn't miss that plane. I looked over my shoulder, not stopping to explain. The girl was down there on her knees, groping round to find the apple scattered on the floor. And then I saw the girl was blind. As the plane was leaving, I stopped to lend a hand. I picked up all the apples, restored the apple stand. To replace the bruised and broken, in her fingers pressed some beers. As I hugged her narrow shoulders, she reached to hold me still and said, "Excuse me, are you Jesus? Is that why you were so kind? Excuse me, are you Jesus, to have had me on your mind? You picked up all the pieces, the bruised and broken parts. You put me back in business. You were Jesus to my heart. Once I was bruised and broken, blind and groping on my way. When someone stopped to help me pay the damage it made me say, are you Jesus? Is that why you were so kind? Excuse me, are you Jesus, to have had me on your mind? You picked up all the pieces, the bruised and broken parts. Put me back in business. You were Jesus to my heart. To
the Neelands. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, and the song "Excuse Me, Are You Jesus?" And there's a concept video, as we talked about, that goes along with that, and that reminded me of like famine in the land.
Yes.
Right? I mean, this was kind of like innovative stuff that you guys were doing. So again, there's, you know, the more we talk, the more we're uncovering. You know, I'm not saying you invented music videos, but you really in Christian music,
we were one of the first.
Yeah,
and matter of fact, it won the very first Dove Award for short form music video, and it won the bronze medal in the New York Film Festival.
Wow.
They didn't have a gospel category, so they put us in the country category.
Wow.
We came in right above the Oak Ridge Boys.
Wow.
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Snow is falling on the streets of Leningrad. As one by one they gathered in his home. One sure that they weren't followed, he led them to a room where they warmed their hands in silence round the stove.
trendsetting song and its accompanying video by the Neelands, and they're here today on Daniel Britt and Friends. Well, I remember it was not long ago, in fact, sitting in the seat that you're sitting in, there was a guy who has been in contemporary radio for so many years, and we were playing the Neelands, and he said, "Oh, the Neelands," and he said, "Famine in the Land, that was hot stuff back then." Aww. He said, "Do you know Kelly?" I said, "I do." He said, "You got to tell her I had the biggest crush on her." And I think, Jason, I mean, this is encroaching on your territory, but do you get that a lot?
People, oh, yeah.
The hugest, you were the queen of gospel music. You were the sweetheart. You were everybody wanted to get close to Kelly.
Somebody reminded me. Somebody reminded me of the day that she's the reigning queen. The last year the award was available Kelly. So,
oh, I didn't even.
Yeah, I get that. Guys of all ages come to me all the time. You are the, there's got to be something. Do you have a lot of money or something like right. this? And of course I don't, but I get that all the time.
So let's talk about Kelly. There was a period where you went solo and were very successful with that. And I remember, I talk about these like I'm old, but I remember being at a station that was not Southern Gospel. At that point, wasn't even really heavy contemporary, but we had these big reel to reels of just random Christian music that was put together by, I think, Northwestern College.
Northwestern, yeah.
And every so often, you had a variety of artists from Sandy Patty to Steve Green and different choirs and things. And every now and then, all of a sudden, you'd perk up and you'd look at the chart list on the reel-to-reel that we were playing, and there was a Kelly Neeland song. And it fit. You know, it was one of those, again, that was this inspirational sound to it. So were you singing with the group at the same time that you did solo?
Some of the time I was still with the group, and then the time that my career got the biggest, you know, a solo career got the biggest, right. was the time that I got the call from my brother and my father saying, "Would you please come back?" And I had two songs. I had three songs in the top five. I think they went number three, number two. He'll Go Out of His Way. I forgot which. What the other ones were. Right, but anyway, right. I went into the owner of Benson, mm-hmm. and he said, "Are you sure you want to do this? You want to go back with your family?" And I said, "You know what? It doesn't matter what happens. My family is the most important thing to me." Yeah. And so that's when we went back together with a soprano singer. And that's where I was most comfortable, you know, with all of us together with a soprano. And that was a big difference.
Yeah. Talk about the soprano singers, because in the list I read not long ago, there were a lot of, I guess to be fair, you're the alto, right?
Right.
So you were kind of the mainstay. You didn't hire a lot of altos. So you hired a lot of sopranos, and that was one thing that the Neelands had, was not just a soprano, but it was an exceptionally high and clear soprano.
And good.
Yeah.
They were all great singers. I mean, Janet, Karen, I mean, all of them. They all were unique. They didn't, any of them sound alike, you know, but I think my voice was the voice of the Neelands, you know, that mm-hmm. the blending mm-hmm. voice. Mm-hmm. I don't know how do you say it, but it's right. the sound.
Right.
As long as I was there, the sound sounded the same.
Right.
And so we had just great voices. I mean, yeah. Charlotte, yeah. Melody, maybe a name that you didn't yeah. mention, but she yeah, had a beautiful Melody. Voice. Katie got a great voice, you know, just so we were blessed. I think we had some of the best sopranos in the whole industry. That's just my opinion, but, mm-hmm. you know, I just think we did. Just fabulous singers.
And to this day, I still think of songs like "God Keeps a Candle Burning in the Window," and I think of
wow.
"Washed in the Blood of the Lamb." Was there one that you did about the blood? I'm trying to think of it.
Covered by the Blood.
Covered by the Blood, that's right. And the way the soprano progressed in that. I mean, these were just great. As Mark Fuller, another friend of
yes.
Lefevre's, Neelands, and mine, would say the family groups just had this brightness to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, quartets are cool, but the family groups, and especially the Neelands, bring this brightness, this blend of harmony that really kind of focused on that high-end sound.
Right. Yeah. And it pushed me as an alto, you know. It made me learn to sing correctly and be able to sing higher than really altos should sing. So it really helped me, and especially with Karen. When we got to Karen, Karen was so much higher. I mean, she woke up high. I mean, it was like we would do a Sunday morning 8 o'clock, and her voice was exactly the same.
Right.
Mine took a while to get there, but there was just something about Karen and I that we just had this blend that I can't explain it. To this day, when we sing together, it just clicks. I don't know how to tell you what it is, but something about us still click to this day. And we could even switch parts, just like Amber and I can do now. Mm-hmm. And we could switch and you wouldn't know it, you know, just it was
and out of all,
that she brought.
Out of all the members that you had that were non-family, I sense that Karen, you and Karen are probably the closest, the tightest. I could see you having, you know, girls sleep over and stay up eating ice cream until 2 a.m. Or
we were talking like night before last till like 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. She was driving home from Nashville. And so we're the best of friends. Yeah. And, you know, she was there for 10 years.
Yeah.
And so I just don't think that bond will ever be broken. Yeah. And I don't want it to be. But she's like a sister. And I almost tear up, you know, when you say it.
Here's a song featuring Rex on the verses, and you hear Karen in the chorus. I love it. The Neelands, here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Once I was lost, I was living in sin. My life was hopeless, no peace within. I was alone, downhearted, and sad. Needed a change in my heart. I bowed a knee, shed a tear, and a sigh. Lifted my eyes to the man in the sky. Now I'll sing and shout the good news. There's been a wonderful change. And then I'll lay down the care, disappointments and strife. Tell my worries and troubles goodbye. Then I'll sing and shout the good news. There's been a wonderful change.
Lots of hairstyles, lots of wardrobe changes, shoulder
pads. Lots of colors of hair. Color of the month.
Colors too. Yeah. And a story she told, I don't think you were there when she told this, but I've got it on tape. It
may
be resurrected. And it has to do with your dad on the bus and a can of air freshener.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, yeah. And to hear Karen tell it is just, it's quite funny. So
yeah,
you may just
have to let her tell that one. I can't even believe she told it because it's hysterical.
It is. And there was a time she got tickled on stage during a very serious moment and she couldn't contain herself. And if you know Karen, you can imagine, you can picture her in this scenario. And she got a good talking to by Rex, I think.
Let me just tell you, there were so many times I had to cover for her because, and it wasn't her fault. My brother was the instigator.
Yeah.
He would make this loud sneeze on stage and it would just be, it would like on a quiet song. And he couldn't contain it. He just made it so loud. Well, Karen would get so tickled and we would start the a cappella. Never failed. A cappella Amazing Grace.
Yes.
Well, Karen would go, I knew we were dead when she started out. Instead of going, instead of that, it would be, I knew we were dead.
Yeah.
We were, and so then after that was over, we would be backstage and I would tell Daddy, she was crying. She was crying. She wasn't laughing. She was crying.
Right.
And I would have to hold the straight face because if I got tickled, she was out of there.
Oh, yeah.
When we get off, she'd go, bye, y'all. I'm fired. Bye.
Everybody loves Karen, and to hear that story again, that's pretty cool. The Neelands are with us today. Daniel Britt and Friends, Come On Home is the new project that we're listening to, in addition to some of the classic stuff. And, I mean, you could go for hours and hours and never run out of Neeland songs, and then I'm sure stories. Yeah, so let me go to the Midwest. I did very little traveling in my early years. But when I met my wife, and she's from Nebraska, we ended up in Nebraska or Iowa for a friend of hers was getting married. And so she was in the wedding. And so here I am just hanging out at the church all day, you know, and walking the grounds of the church out in the cornfield of Iowa. And I walked through a little library section of this church in Iowa. And who do I see on the CD to check out but the Neelands?
Aww.
All the way out in the cornfields there. And I thought, now that's cool, because to me that was, you know, I'm from Georgia, you guys are from Georgia, but to see this impact wasn't just a Georgia thing.
Right.
You guys did international travel. Did that ever pick up for you in those early days or before you even were singing? Did they do much international?
We didn't do a lot of international, but we were one of the few groups that would go to California.
Yeah.
So it was like us and the Cathedrals would do a trip every year together. And so not many other groups.
Basically the entire West Coast.
Yeah, the whole West Coast. Yeah, but we always say we knew it was all the West Coast and all the way over there, but we'd say we were all going to California because that, you know, that was where we would end up.
Yeah.
But we never did any international until the last 10 years.
Yeah, wow. And that's picked up. We were talking to Danny Jones of Singing News Magazine the other night about this. Internationally, we could probably park over there now and tour. I mean, we literally could probably launch a ministry and live in Europe. They love this music so much. And that's in big part to the Gaither phenomenon. It's global. And they know us through the Gaither videos. And then when we get there, and our first trip to Scandinavia was a few years ago, and our very first night was a sold-out concert in Sweden. And the venues aren't large there. There might have been, 300 to 400 people there probably. Right. And we did our normal 2-hour concert. We left the stage. They're on their feet just showing wonderful appreciation. We walk side stage back to where the merchandise is set up. We hear this. It sounds like a herd of cattle in the venue. Oh. Stomping and clapping. Stomp, clap, stomp. And we're like, what in the world is going on? The promoter runs outside. He goes, that's how we tell you that we want an encore. Can you guys do some more?
He's
like, okay, cool. So we went back in there and sang a few more songs. We did it again, left, went back to the merch table. 20 minutes later, another stomp, clap. I mean, they keep this up. Our 2-hour concert turned into be a 4-hour concert.
Wow.
And they just would not let us stop. And we have grown to love these folks.
Oh,
and
we love them.
We tour in Sweden now about every 18 months. We go to Norway. We've got trips planned to Denmark. And we're talking to some folks
Scotland.
In Scotland and Ireland. We've been in England. And
They just, and, they're wonderful to sing to, and they appreciate it because they don't get it as much as the States do. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
They appreciate what you do so much, and oh, it's just, it's wonderful.
They're wanting us to come there. I'm talking to a promoter now. He's wanting us to come to Sweden and record an entire live project in one of these thousand-year-old churches with our a cappella music.
Wow.
And so we're, who knows? It might be on the horizon.
Wow. And there's something maybe to that, the fact that Rex last performed in London, right, or overseas.
Yes,
And that was kind of new, even then, a new concept for you guys going over and now to carry that mantle. That's cool. Talk about your dad, Jason, because this is funny that the dads really are picking up these same roles. So when Rex retired, Dan Clark comes in and doesn't look like Rex, but boy, he sounded like him.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
It was very strange.
It was so weird for me because I would hear this voice and think, you know, in some ways it was very comforting, you know, that he was there and he sounded so much like him, you know, and he was so good. You know, I didn't want another bass singer because I just didn't think there was anyone that would measure up.
Right.
And so for him to come in, it was really, really a joy.
Yeah.
Dad's first year with us, and he was making the circuit. I always knew Dad had a great voice, but he hadn't been in professional gospel music for 20 years, so nobody really knew him. But I guess I took for granted how good he really was. He came in, no rehearsals, no anything, and just stepped up first night and nailed it. And it was just like that. And I remember the first year we were making the circuit through the churches and promoters, we'd be in there doing sound check a couple hours before, you know, the show would start or whatever. And the promoter, whoever would be the local contact, they would run into the building when they would hear Dad sound checking and would look. I thought you guys were playing a CD of Rex. It was just fun. That happened so many times. It was hilarious, you know.
I was in a Presbyterian church, and we had a guy. I never told him this, but he looked exactly like Dan Clark.
Really?
And I would find myself sometimes drifting away from the sermon and glancing over, and then I would start thinking Neyland's memory. I said, wait a minute, that's not Clark. I got to look, you know, I got to get focused here. But that was a cool time, too.
Yeah, it was.
To see that, you know, there was some transition going on. Rex was still singing and doing a lot with the Gaithers.
Right.
But yet,
and
he
loved that.
Yeah. Oh, and that was a lot of fun, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. He loved it. I mean, he traveled with Jake Hess.
Yeah.
And so Jake's bus would come by and pick him up. He loved it. It was, and it was a good thing. You know, my mother had just passed away. And so he was lonely and sitting there alone by himself.
Yeah.
And Bill invited him on the tour and he got to be with his friends. You know, what a wonderful time. And even though I was devastated with his death,
right,
I was thrilled that he was doing what he loved and he went on right on to heaven doing what he loved.
Were you there with him?
No, I was not there.
Did you have to fly over?
No, it was going to take, it took 7 days to get his body back. And so they all came back.
Yeah.
And they flew him back 7 days later.
And
but there's an interesting story with how I found out about his death. We were headed to Nashville. We had loaded up the bus. Well, we were going to load up the bus. We had an MCI that has the air door. The door wouldn't open. We tried everything. We pushed there's a thing on the front of the bus that you push.
Right.
I'm trying to explain this to listeners who can't see that I'm pushing this knob. And it wouldn't open. We called MCI. We called the main office and asked them.
It was a brand new bus.
It was a brand new. And we did everything that we knew to do to get that
bus. And there's
only
one door.
There's only one door.
One way in. Yeah.
And so it wouldn't work. So we went back. We were headed to Nashville to record. We went back home. We're loading up the van. And I got the call. I got the call from Norman Holland, who told me about my father. And so
it delayed us because we would have been on the road.
We would have been on the road. I would not have gotten the call, you know, at that time.
Wow.
And so we went back to the bus. The door opened right up.
Wow.
Is that, you know, it's just kind of how God works.
My goodness.
So I was there, you know, and could get the call. Not a good call, but
sure.
You know, the Lord knew everything that was going on. It took me a few years just to kind of balance all that out. But But you know what? I realized that he went doing what he loved. He was never in a nursing home, never had to suffer for a long time, just right on into the best time of his life.
And I heard his homegoing service was just incredible.
It was tremendous. Incredible. He would have been so proud. And you know what? I don't think that he realized, because I didn't, how many people loved him. Yeah. You know, I got over 3,000 emails from people, including George Jones, who loved him. And if he had known that George Jones had emailed me because he loved George Jones, he might even come back.
That's right. Amber, tell me about this whole family situation. Do you ever, I mean, I know you appreciate it all, but let's just be honest.
Don't be honest.
At some point, do you think, why not a law degree? Why not a business degree? Why am I cooped up on a bus yet again this weekend with this crazy bunch of my family? You can't get away from them.
No, I can't. But it's a good thing because I don't want to be. But, you know, I had the few years of being normal when we were the worship pastors of our church. Yeah. And I was in high school and I got to play sports. And I found out that I could actually play basketball and loved it. And I was able to be home, you know, on the weekends. And we sang every now and then. And also to be involved, really heavily involved with our church and the youth group. Yeah. And then on to the college and career. And so, you know, I think that was a time from God where he was just like, you know, here's your time to grow up and be around all these people your age. And then when it came time, you know, where it was time to go to college, they just went with me to Florida.
Most parents send their child off. We follow them.
That's right. You spent time in Jacksonville.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We did.
Yeah.
And so I went to Florida to Trinity Baptist College down there at Trinity Baptist Church. And I started getting I was working on a music degree and a counseling degree for children and marriage and family and that sort of thing. And so, you know, I mean, I'm getting.
So she could counsel us.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to start with them. But, you know, I thought, well, I could do that and still be on the road. You know, counseling is something that I could use in a church setting or anywhere. Right. Yeah. And I don't really want to do anything else. I'm sure there's plenty of other stuff I could do, but all I've ever wanted to do was sing, and I don't see that ever changing, at least not until God has to tell me so, and he's really going to have to hit me upside the head to tell me to stop. So that's what my heart has always wanted to do, and I'm just thankful that he allowed me to do it.
Mark Lowry always says, Amber, you were born to sing. Don't ever do anything else. You were born to sing.
And education is an important thing. I know Gaither's probably told you that. You
a
know,
million times.
That, yes,
with all the talent in the world, you still need education.
Sure.
And so that's a nice balance. And I'm sure Florida welcomed you, and Jacksonville was a warm city for you.
Wonderful. Oh, warmth is the optimal word there. Yeah.
The beach.
Oh, we loved
it. That was amazing.
But we had a fantastic church there.
Yeah.
Dr. Tom Messer is just one of the greatest. I mean, he just welcomed us and treated us like gold. And
the city, too.
And the city, yeah. The people there were so kind.
Wow.
And we loved
them. I mean,
we did the, yes.
Last week, we did a large gathering. 10,000 people showed up downtown, outside.
Wow.
And it's just the entire city, our church. It's become a home for us, even though we're from Atlanta.
Yeah, it's like a second home.
And it was great.
Well, all that's warm and fuzzy and nice, but I think there were a lot of us that just could not get it through our heads. It didn't make sense. The Neylands can't be in Florida. They have to be in Atlanta.
That's right.
You know, there's so much history there and so many roots there. So
it's been nice being back in Atlanta,
back in Atlanta
too.
Now.
Yeah. We can go visit them, you know, in Florida.
Yeah.
And it's a great break in this in the wintertime, you know, to go back in the warmth. But home is Georgia.
But there is no beach in Atlanta.
No.
And if there's one thing that I've learned about Kelly is she's not singing.
She loves the beach.
She's at the beach and you don't mess with her because she is the singer.
And we moved back to Georgia.
Disney World. Disney all the time.
I mean, within 4 weeks, we just moved back. 4 weeks.
Yep.
She's like, Jason, me and Autumn are going to drive to Jacksonville next week to go to the beach.
And I went.
It took off. We just moved back, and they've already made a trip down to the beach.
That's funny.
Love the beach. I mean, there's just something so calming.
Yeah.
Give me a book and the beach, and I am happy.
You always been that way?
Always. I just love it. I mean, so it makes me happy. other than getting my nails done.
Right.
It makes me happy. Now I've even got Jason getting his nails done.
Yes.
Well, Jason.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe it's toes. Maybe not nails.
You could just say it's for medical reasons, right?
Yeah.
It's the ward off pleurisy.
Well, it's, yeah, that's right. You know, I just want to keep Kelly happy.
That's right.
When Kelly's happy.
That's right.
Everybody's happy.
I remember watching a social cam video in Florida, and I don't know if you're renting the home or if you own the home, but you may have had to pay some damages later where you hammered something with a shoe.
Oh, that was their home.
Was it a shoe or a brush?
It was a brush.
And
it was me and Mom.
Right. Hairbrush. Yes.
Me and Mom were hanging the first picture hung in the house. And she had bought this. The way she described this picture was that it was so beautiful. And it was like all these colorful flowers. And I can't wait to hang it up in the kitchen. And I get there. It was like a little Target photo with these little bitty flowers, just red, yellow, and green.
Okay,
that's all it was.
This kitchen there was yellow. I mean, the whole
living room kitchen
was like yellow. So the picture had flowers in it with different colors. And so I was trying to, you know,
bring it together.
But then we didn't have a hammer.
We didn't have a hammer. So, yeah, I do what I have to do.
And then it was crooked, you know, so we had to take the nail out, rehammer it with the brush, right. Or Mom did.
But it stayed.
It did.
It stayed.
It stayed.
So, Jason, how's your health through all this?
It's been good. You know, I had a little...
the collapse of the lung? Or
I had a little setback of several things. One thing seemed to lead to another for about 3 or 4 months. And I was really laid out on my back for good
forever.
90 days. But you know what? I've been strong lately. The Lord has really touched me. And I'm probably more grateful than ever to be able to sing now.
Yeah.
Because I was so weak. And I couldn't sing at all. I really couldn't.
But something affecting your breathing. I mean, that's pretty important for everybody, but in particularly.
I really got scared
singer.
At that point. Yeah. You know, we were at the Mayo Clinic several times. And then we went to the Vanderbilt voice doctor there, Dr. Ossoff. And he got me straightened up, you know. And
I can't even tell you what the cough sounded like.
It was horrendous.
It's funny now, but it wasn't funny then.
It wasn't funny
then. But we finally just had to make a joke of it because when he would...
She kept calling me the Hatfields, you know, the Hatfields.
Because
he had pleurisy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I mean, it was the most awful cough. I mean, and it was like, you thought he was going to die right then. And it would last for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I would lose my breath and I couldn't breathe. And that would scare Autumn, our youngest daughter, you know, because I would go literally and... I guess my diaphragm was built up so much from singing, I'd have to go literally almost a minute holding my breath because I couldn't get air, and it would freak you out, you know.
Wow.
And finally, it was going on for so long, we would just go, here we go.
We'd go eat with these, you know, people that had never heard it before, and he'd start coughing. We'd say, oh, it's okay. It'll be
he's
done
dying.
In about 6 seconds.
Don't worry about him.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a condition.
It's not that.
Were you sleeping much during this?
No.
And neither was anyone else.
Nope.
I slept on the sofa for almost 10 days. And so, and he would get to where he would cough so much that he would.
I broke 4 ribs by coughing so much. I mean, it was crazy.
Throw up.
He would throw up.
Oh, man.
And finally, I just put earplugs in.
No,
I thought.
Let me tell you about the throw up part.
And moving on.
We were in Gatlinburg.
Yes,
we did the Gaither concerts there in Gatlinburg, the Family Fest.
And for some reason, he did very well through that.
Well, yeah. I was drugged up for 3 days to get
well,
through
just
that.
Tell everybody.
And then we had vacation, you know, with our families in Gatlinburg. And then it was nearing the end, at the last day, you know, and we wanted to kind of go do some things in Gatlinburg, but he didn't feel well enough to go. So what we did was he stayed in the hotel room. Well, I guess Mom and Autumn had just had enough. You know, they were just like, they were done with it.
I can't handle it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when somebody throws up, I'm going to throw up with them.
And I'm the same way. I don't love throw up.
Yes,
so
who does?
I was in the car and I'm driving. He was in the back seat right behind me.
Yeah.
Autumn was sitting very far away from him in the back seat on the other side. And then Mom was in the passenger seat. And so we stopped at the hotel and... All of a sudden, he gets in that coughing spell, and you could tell he's about to vomit.
I feel the compassion.
He's about to vomit. Mom literally says, I can't take it. And she gets out of the car, slams the door.
Oh, my.
And then Autumn sits there. And, of course, he's next to her in the back seat. She says, well, I'm not staying if Mom's leaving. So she gets out. And then guess who's stuck with him? I'm in the car with him while he's throwing up. And I have no clue what to do. And I thought, of course it would be that they would leave me here. Both of them would jet out and leave me here with puke boy in the car.
Oh, it was so much. I can't even tell you how bad it was. I mean, we finally just had to laugh about it. Yeah. And he had coughed so much. I'm desperate.
Right.
So Autumn and I, we go.
I'm desperate.
Actually, he's the one suffering.
Yeah. She said, I'm desperate.
Joyce Martin told me, she said, Amber was sick here at a recent Gaither concert, and Joyce was helping her. She goes, you know what I remember, Jason? I said, what's that? When they was being mean to you when you were sick, I almost just left her in that bathroom.
Did you ever get any comments through this, Kelly, that a good wife, that a supportive wife would not be so quick to abandon him in his time of sickness and
Mark Lowry.
Near death.
Yeah, Mark Lowry, he reamed me out on social cam.
Your husband's over there dying, and you're out laying by the pool.
I'm at the pool. But I will say, I never dreamed that I would be giving him a bath.
Kelly.
Well, yeah, it's the truth. And we're going to talk about being a good wife.
Yeah.
He is in the hospital, and he has not had a bath. Woo! Not had a bath in days.
Oh, come on.
Days. And so I told Karen, too, Karen Peck, I said.
But she was. But
so
honestly,
I was a good wife.
She was. And the whole family, I was incapable of taking care of myself. They really, I couldn't have made it without them. They took care of me.
Well, I don't know. We had some fun at your expense.
Oh, yeah. And they did, too.
On the radio.
I remember that.
There was some social camming that was going on. And did you get any evidence on social cam of the cough? The sound?
I don't think, no.
I'd always walk away.
You protected
his
dignity.
When I felt it coming on, I would leave.
Because it was so bad, people would have thought he was dying. I mean, it's something I've never heard in my life.
Have you ever been sick, Kelly? Like, really sick?
Not really, really bad
tonsils,
sick.
Tonsils, anything?
Yeah, you know, no. I never had my tonsils out, nothing like that, you know. No, been pretty good.
Well, your day may be coming.
Well, you know what? I will say, I was sick. I forgot about this. Last year, I got really sick. We went on a cruise with Karen. We went to Alaska. And you know how you eat on the cruise?
Oh, yeah.
Just had the best time. Got off the cruise, and I'd lost 6 pounds. Hmm. And I thought, this is really weird. And then we went to a concert, and we were on the road for about 10 days to 2 weeks. And got to where I couldn't get up hardly from the sofa on the bus to the bus door. I was just so exhausted. Mm. And we were recording and all kinds of things. I remember the last day we recorded, we were at Gaither Studio. I drank a 2 liter of Mountain Dew.
Wow.
2 liter. 4 glasses of milk and 5 glasses of orange juice before 10 o'clock.
Wow.
I got so thirsty. I didn't know what was wrong with me, why I could not quench my thirst. Mm. And then I got so tired. And
you couldn't see the audience.
Then we got up to sing one night, and I could not see the audience. Mm. And so I went and called my doctor friend, and he said, you know what? You need to go get a testing kit from Walmart to check your sugar. Mm. Well, it was bad. I mean, I finally got to the doctor, it was 600. The doctor said, you're lucky to be here. He said, you could have been dead with a stroke.
Wow.
He said, because I don't know if you know what an A1C is, but all the listeners that have ever had anything to do with this will understand. My A1C was 12.8, which if you look on the charts, I'm a Google doctor. Yeah, if you look on the little chart there, that will say suicidal.
Wow.
So it's just amazing. The Lord has really touched me. I lost 40 pounds, stopped drinking Cokes. I'm now a diet drinker. You know, I drink water and diet drinks. And it's totally turned around. I should have been on insulin.
Right.
But with my diet change and a little medication, I went to the doctor yesterday. Everything's good.
Wow.
So good. Thankful for that. So I have been sick, but they didn't know it really that much.
And you haven't milked
it. I didn't like hack coffee.
Yes,
stuff.
Right.
Still went to the beach. I went to the beach. Could barely walk, yeah. But I went to the beach.
How are you feeling, Amber?
I'm feeling great.
Is any of this contagious?
No, none of it's contagious, thankfully.
So maybe the Rex Neeland heritage here is not so much the
well, you know, my daddy was a diabetic. Pressure.
Was he?
Yes, he was. And I didn't know. I didn't know it was hereditary. So
right there.
Yeah.
Oh,
you better watch this.
Yes. Now you'll be carrying a spray of Lysol and sanitizer.
Right? Exactly.
Morning has broken.
Vocals of Amber of the Neelands here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Let's talk about some other family. You mentioned Todd.
Yes.
And Todd Neeland, and he's a great musician. You still get together from time to time on stage, right?
Oh, yeah. Every now and then. When we have a piano player who can play something, because we don't right. have the tracks to the songs he sung. Like, right. we can't do Thanks because we don't have a track.
The band thing, he was playing bass, you know.
Yeah, now he does come and play bass. He does do that when we have the band and stuff. But as far as singing, we can't do that much.
Right.
But I will say his son, my nephew, is traveling with us.
Really?
And running sound. And it feels so good because he was my baby.
Yeah.
He is my baby.
Jordan Rex is his name.
Rex Jordan.
Is his name.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And Autumn is really coming into her own vocally as well, right?
Yes, she is. I mean, she is singing. She's really singing good. Now, she's a late bloomer, but she's always been able to sing, but not as outgoing as Amber. You know, just a little bit afraid of the people, I think, you know, getting up in front of the people. But you get her in her room. And she sings up a storm, and she just recorded on the Christmas project that we did. She recorded a song, and she sung a high note. She said, "Mama, you didn't know I could do that, did you?" So
that's good.
She's coming out, learning to play the mandolin.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what's wrong with that, Amber?
Nothing. It's just 24/7 on the bus. And now not only do we have Jason, but now we have Autumn. So it's just constant banjo and mandolin.
Well, Amber, now I do remember you learning to play the violin.
And it only lasted for a month. Me and Madison Easter, in fact, both of us were learning to play the violin. And Jeff Easter called us up one night at their concert to play it.
It was the worst thing.
It was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It was horrible.
Yeah,
it
was
and
great.
We came off stage and we said, "Why did he make us do that?"
Strength you give to simply carry on through life's toils and tests and the worst and best. I'm not ever left alone. You are always right beside me. You hear me every time I pray. Since I first began, you've been my dearest friend, and I give you all the praise.
Thanks, I give you.
Day I live, your grace you give, I'm blessed abundantly. I can't forget that moment
When in my life you've made such a change, and since the Spirit came, I've not been the same. I just want to give you thanks.
I just want to say
What a sound. The Neelands here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Kelly has been deemed the queen of social cam by me, Mark Lowry,
right,
the king.
Did.
And that's a great way to keep up with the Neelands and what they're doing. Sometimes it's and Sam Cam is there too, right?
That's right. I mean, he's
been
there.
Yep. So we've opened this whole new world of knowing what goes on that metal tube on wheels. Going
that's
on the
right. And you never know what we're doing.
And you, I imagine. I mean, people see that on one hand. They say, "Oh, such a glamorous lifestyle!
Oh,
look at
goodness.
That! Look at the slide out! Look at that! You got the comforts of home. You're sitting in a traffic jam, but you would never know it."
Yeah.
But the road can take its toll.
Oh yeah, we did the social cam. Matter of fact, we were going back and forth with Mark Lowry because our air was out, and it was like 95 degrees, and we were dying. And Mark saying, "Oh, it's so cold in here in his camper."
Yeah.
And so sometimes it can get rough.
Yeah.
But not a month later, he had a breakdown.
I remember.
He did.
I remember.
Breakdown.
He was asking us to keep him company.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great way for the listeners and the supporters of gospel music to really connect with you guys through social cam, but also Facebook, Twitter, and your website online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything. And usually the social cam goes right to the Facebook, to all of our Facebooks too. So that's, to me, has been the most fun of anything. I mean, it's like we have our own reality show.
Exactly.
You know, it's just been so much fun. And then we have a talking dog.
And you don't have that every day.
No.
This dog is not just any dog. As you say, talking dog, now with his own merchandise.
Yeah.
His own
And we brought him in today.
His own fan page. And he's here.
Hey, Sam.
Hi. Hey, Daniel.
You know what? This is a dream come true.
Wow.
I know it is.
But you know what, Sam? Gospel music loves you.
Really?
So don't let them down.
I'm not going to. Don't let them down yourself.
Okay. All right. So you can get a t-shirt. Am I right? A blue shirt?
Yes, Sam. We've got t-shirts.
We got t-shirts for my picture.
We got small and we got...
Little bitty.
And...
Biggie.
And now we're almost ready to put the DVD out.
Yep. What's the DVD?
The DVD.
The best of the Sam Cam.
Oh, wow.
Is coming out very soon.
Sam, do you have an agent?
Mark Lowry.
Yes, I bet. I know that.
Well, and you know, he Sam has learned a new song for our Christmas tour, too. And it's on the video as well.
Yep.
Yeah, you want to sing?
No,
you're not going to sing, Sam?
No, not right now.
Okay.
Mom, you can't do that.
Oh. Do they give you a special green room?
No, I'm treated awful.
I saw you playing with a pine cone one day during a pit
stop. I did. I don't have no toys.
We will bless you with some toys, Sam, if I have anything to do with it.
Well, he has been very blessed with toys. We have gotten over 20 presents for his birthday.
Yeah, it was my birthday.
Every day is Sam's birthday.
Every day is Sam's birthday.
That's good. In doggy years, that's probably true.
Yeah.
You're not the only dog I've interviewed. Did you know? I interviewed, and that's not a joke, I interviewed Benji. You know the Benji films?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cool. Oh. Yeah, a little bit
Sam
bigger
needs
of a dog.
To watch Benji.
He's not as famous as me, I guess. No. I don't know
Sam,
him.
Sam, he's pretty famous.
Oh.
He's pretty famous.
I don't know him.
But Sam has had over 18,000 views.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. And talking about internationals, we've talked about Sam. I mean, you know no language barrier.
I don't.
No, that's good. That's and true. People from Korea and people from
amazing.
All over the world are responding to Sam.
Do you look on there to see those, you know, the
characters? The,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Egypt.
Not a language. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know what they're saying to me, but it's got to be nice.
It's probably.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is. Sam Cam, the Neelands, all of this at thenielands.com. Sam's available for thenielands.com too, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Most
and,
definitely.
And for booking of Sam, you contact Mark Lowry. And that is 615. Okay, so guys, this has been wonderful. The music, the heritage, the fun, the everything, the freshness of this new sound. And I just can't, I mean, I know we haven't gone everywhere we could have gone, but thanks. You've been very generous with your time. And so
we've loved it. Thanks for letting us do this. This is wonderful.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.